Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Mesut Ozil, midfielder and assist wizard. Play for Schalke, Bremen, Real Madrid and Arsenal. 92 caps for Germany, won La Liga, 3 FA Cups and the World Cup. Recently came out of retirement to join Fenerbahce, plus author. But what did we think of his 2017 book, Gunning for Greatness, an English translation of the German original, which cost me £4? Find out in today's Football Book Club.
Whoa, you cost £45 million and you can't sing?
Speaking of mobile phones in the massage room.
All I could think of was David Guetta when I was thinking of that. Just like singing songs at inappropriate time.
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where instead of literary classics, each week we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Dan Brown, more Wes Brown. I'm James Burke, and over the weeks we'll be reading classics such as John Parkin's Feed the Beast and Antoine Griezmann's Getting to the Top of World Football. It's catchy title, Antoine. But today we're reading Mesut Ozil's 2017 book, Gunning for Greatness, and reading it with me, Jack Bernhardt.
Came out of retirement? How dare you?
I've never... This is the earliest you ever told me off on the show.
That was the most silent I've been for the start of an intro ever, because I was so shocked and horrified by what you just said.
We need to like release the video footage of that moment, because his face was amazing.
I've screenshotted it. Welcome also Natasha Daniels.
Hi.
And James Balgin.
Hello.
So, Mesut Ozil. Oh. Jack's already kind of a...
I'm riled up now. Here we go.
Do you remember what Perry Grove said about his book during a game of Real Book Fake Book when we had him on the show?
I do actually. I remember thinking, oh, this is awkward.
I'm going to give you some names of football autobiographies. You have to tell me if you think it's a real book or one we've just made up.
Okay.
Sounds kind of fun, right?
Yeah, we'll go. from where you're sitting, maybe.
Mesut Ozil, Gunning for Greatness.
No, fake.
That's real.
Really?
Journey real.
I don't think there's been many bullets in that gun. Yeah,
Well, so that was... So Perry Grove said that, but that was towards the end of his Arsenal career. This book was written in 2017 when Ozil was kind of flying at Arsenal, and it was about the best time in his career there. It was a totally, completely different atmosphere, and now he's left, obviously. So we're in a kind of unique position where we can kind of do a, you know, a revisionist historical account of his career at Arsenal and, you know, his whole career up to date. Do you think we're the right people to do that?
I feel very emotional, and I think that's like 90% lockdown. I cried at a Zoopla advert today. So.
Okay, sure. Well, Mesut Ozil's got very emotionally intact people defending him today, so that's really good.
Like Mesut, if this goes terribly wrong and we do a sort of like Leave Britney Alone style video of me screaming under a duvet, leave Mesut alone.
Jack, I'm already a bit worried about you.
We're only about
4 minutes in this came out. But anyway, I feel like we're the right people to do this. It's a story of identity, ambition, adversity, and drama. And also there's a bit where a gang of baboons try and steal his backpack. So stay tuned for that. Okay, over the show, we're going to be going into more depth about the book. We'll be doing a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, and our mate Ken is back with another chant for a long-since retired footballer. But first, how are we all doing, guys? All good?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, pretty good.
I'm just Jack, very concerned about Jack right now.
I mean, how are any of us really? What is existence currently? You know what I mean?
Jack, we're literally one book into the series. What are you going to be like by the time we do the Michael Owen trilogy?
I'll be honest, without the Football Book Club, where would I be?
Moving on. James. James, how's your week been? Good.
I just had a phone call off the pizza shop because my dad ordered a prawn pizza. And I don't think anyone's ever ordered it before. So they rang me and then they texted me and said, "You've ordered a prawn pizza, we don't do that. Can you pick something else?"
What?
How did he order it?
Like, it was an option online, but obviously it's just nobody's ever ordered it before. So they're like, "Oh God, someone's ordered the prawn pizza, what the hell?" Like, we're going to have to get in touch with them.
Yeah, it's like one of those McDonald's off the menu kind of things.
I'll have the prawn pizza.
Yeah. I brought up amongst you guys earlier how I can't get on board with the fact that Kieran Gibbs is 31 years old, which I saw today. And then I saw Michael Mancian was 33. And I felt even older than that. Yeah, I know, right? That really, really...
You still think
out.
Of, especially Michael Mancian, as being like a young Chelsea up-and-coming.
Yeah, definitely.
He went to Wolves, didn't he? Yeah.
I keep seeing people born after 2000 now doing things, and I just immediately discount them.
I agree. And anyone listening born after 2000, turn this off right now. You know, this isn't for you. It's a strange one, this book, isn't it? It's another one of those books that we put in the camp of written a bit too early. I would say, because it's written in 2017 when Ozil is 27 or so, 28.
Yeah,
probably.
I think he's, yeah.
And it's so slap bang in the middle of his Arsenal career, as we said. It's obviously a German book. Let's see what Amazon's saying about it anyway. So the book has 4.4 stars from 95 reviews. Again, quite a lot.
Ooh,
no Chris Kamara, but sure.
Everyone on the earth has bought Chris Kamara's book.
Apart from him.
Yeah, Why did we say that in that episode? Anyway, including this 5-star review from a Mr. Deneen called "That Ozil Joined Arsenal," which reads, "I liked that Ozil joined Arsenal." Great. Does that pretty much sum up the book for everyone else?
Deneen, I agree. I like that Ozil joined Arsenal.
Was that you?
It was, yeah. That's my alter ego, Mr. Deneen.
What did you think of the book? Tash, what did you think about it? We know what Jack thought.
Well, you don't. It'll,
Jack's pages are stuck together. He loved it that much.
No, hang on.
Oh, no.
First of all, I bought it online, so it's an ebook.
The pages were already stuck when that came through. Right, Tash, we're not starting with you because you're mucky. James. James, what did you think of it?
I like it. I like the more sort of current ones because I know more of the players. I liked it though. I didn't expect him to be philosophical and quite intelligent.
Quite insightful. Yeah. I agree.
That's true.
Yeah. I liked it.
Interesting. First book I've dropped in the bath. As you can see, the pages are kind of just slightly discolored because I dropped a corner of it.
Is that why your pages are stuck together?
Oh, Tash, please.
My page.
The sooner you drop this, the better.
Do you know what, though? This really is at odds with what I thought of the book because it was so much more profound and deep than I expected it to be.
Yeah, it was.
What, yeah. That's what I mean.
And you come along.
Sorry, Mezzet.
Yeah, it is. I agree. It was quite insightful for someone so young. Jack? I'm terrified to ask.
I think there's just a lot of complicated emotions with Mesut. Like it's very hard to process a lot of how I feel about Mesut Ozil, and that like backs up also into his writing. Like,
for anyone who hasn't listened, Jack is an Arsenal fan.
Yeah,
quite clearly. Uh-huh. And you liked Mesut as a player, I'm guessing.
I loved watching Mesut play. He was the way he played was incredible, and he could do things that no other player could do. But obviously, he never quite reached those heights with Arsenal. The way it ended this season was so depressing. Like, we're recording this in February 2021. He's just joined Fenerbahce for free, having been left out of the
Arsenal Premier League
squad. Season, yeah. I mean, you buy this player for £45 million, you pay him £300,000 a week from a contract going back to 2018, and you leave him out the squad. I mean, oh God, it's just a horrible waste of a career.
It makes it really sad when you read it and you see, like, when he's talking about his dreams and where
God,
he thinks he's going to be, and then you know how it ends.
Ballon d'Or for him, and I can't see it coming anymore.
That was so sad. There's a bit also at the end where he's like, "I might win the Premier League, I might win the Champions League," and it's like, you won't, and it's so sad.
Fenerbahce fans will be fuming with you, Jack. Let's get into it. I wanted to bring up something right from the beginning of the book, if that's okay, and not the fact that my book was bought from Lancashire County Library. So I don't.
Why? You keep on stealing books.
I steal it. I bought it off Amazon. It really early on. Meza says that. And obviously, this is something which has been. It makes sense because it's been something that's been a common theme throughout his career. Is the sense of German Turkish identity? Is he German? Is he Turkish? Which is something which the media have been obsessed with, especially in Germany, for a long time, and his struggles with it. He's very diplomatic about it, I think, all the way through. He's very much like, well, I get a bit of both, to be honest. It's not like I choose one or the other. However, one thing I was going to say he definitely has got from Germany, the German side of things, is his naming of chapters. He has got the most methodical chapter name I think I've ever seen. Like, so German and just functional, and they work. There's one in particular, World Champions in Brazil, a successful conclusion needs passion and discipline. Then there's other ones such as footballers aren't politicians, action is better than talking nonsense.
That's true.
There we go. A bone of contention between Germany and Turkey, the art of making the right decision. They're very I found that really interesting, some of the Turkish German stuff, the identity. Like, I didn't know a lot about I knew that there were a lot of Turkish people in Germany, but I didn't know the history behind it necessarily, and it was all very interesting how it was a post-war way of getting a lot of people into work there and stuff, and he's third generation German.
Yeah, I feel like I learned more about European history from this book than I did about 5 years of high school.
From a very, very specific part of German history.
Yeah.
Jack did a history degree, so I'm hoping he knows.
And I learned more about politics in the UK from Cammy's book than I did. I thought that stuff was really interesting, and I think the thing that I found very weird about it is sort of what James is talking about, that he didn't speak German growing up, but he's third generation. Like,
yeah,
when he's talking about like, should I go play for Turkey or should I play for Germany, he points out that he's never really been to Turkey. He's like gone like to see family, but he doesn't, you know, he's not like he's going, I'm coming home at this point.
Yeah, you can totally understand why he struggles with it a little bit, can't you? Because he's never been there, but his family don't speak German, and he's just sort of stuck.
And he makes a point of saying, like, we were foreigners in Germany, which is such an interesting concept, that you're like, you're growing up in this country that you know nothing else, but you still feel like a foreigner effectively in your own country. And it is, you know, like,
well, at least up until he's 5 or 6, then he does start speaking. When he goes to school, he doesn't start speaking German, but I guess because he is surrounded by, as he says, you know, fellow players of Turkish origin and Lebanese, I think he says, a lot of people from Lebanon.
That thing of identity is really, really interesting, because obviously now he's moved to Turkey and he seems to have become a lot more sort of, and obviously, you know, what happened in the German with the German national team in 2018, like, it does seem like he's become more Turkish, if that's possible to say. I mean, it's not really like
I know what you mean.
He's kind of that, he's embraced that aspect of his identity a lot more.
I agree. And actually, that's another thing interesting in the book. Right from the beginning, you see Yogi Löw writes a very short introduction to him, and I was kind of reading, like, oh, I wonder if he'd still be doing that nowadays. And then he goes into another person who is very prominent in the book, which I enjoyed, Jose Mourinho, right at the top. Jose Mourinho writes the foreword, and then the prologue is all about Mourinho as well. Ozil loves Mourinho. He really does. And Mourinho seems to love Ozil, apart from when he's slagging him off.
In the prologue. I have a theory, because I watched Whiplash last night, and they are like the two guys from Whiplash.
Right, so he's like the drummer. Ozil's the drummer.
Ozil's the drummer.
Mourinho's going, that's not quite my tempo, that kind
of. Exactly.
So in the change room scene, it's a moment in his Real Madrid career where things aren't going very well, and Mourinho lays into him at halftime. He subs him, I think.
It feels a little bit gaslighty, because he's like, oh, he was shouting at me and telling me that I wasn't Zidane, and I mince around the pitch saying that I won't get dirty. And then afterwards, Ozil's not like, oh, this really upset me. He's like, it drove me to be more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hon. Like, you...
Well, I mean, we have very different opinions about Jose Mourinho, obviously, James.
I think
we're going to get into it in our side podcast, the Mourinho Chat Hour.
Not again.
Genuinely, we've been chatting about this for quite a while. behind the scenes.
I think a player sometimes, and I can probably see it with Ozil, feeling a bit too comfortable in some situations, I think it can make some players a bit lazy in that respect.
Sure.
Especially when you're kind of a luxury player like Ozil, you need to kind of really get into it.
But Ozil does sort of own up to it in the book quite a bit. He's like, you know, I do a few of my customary through balls and nice passes, and then I just eat up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I drop 20%, and it's like, yeah, that's everyone's problem with you. That is literally your problem.
I think that's why he realizes Mourinho worked well there. But
there's a very strange relationship there that I suppose, yeah, it's hard to get your head around, as really in many ways.
I think it is very reminiscent of Mourinho and Ali now, but Ali doesn't obviously respond to it in the same way that Ozil says.
So far, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and it's very much the atmosphere that I want to create on this podcast. So we're going to move on now. To
any one of you
could
be replaced. Talking of Mourinho, I mean, it sort of lays in how hard this book is to read as an Arsenal fan,
right?
Because, I mean, it is a very weird thing, reading a book.
I think we've gathered that you found it pretty difficult to read this.
I found it very difficult, James. I struggled. I found it very difficult because it's called Gunning for Greatness. It has a picture of Beza in red on the front. So it's very much like Arsenal baiting. It's like, you know, you're
definitely
an Arsenal fan, you're going to love this book. The first, like, serious bit of the book is a foreword by Jose Mourinho, arguably Arsene Wenger's most hated man. The nemesis, the anti-Arsenal, the man who called Wenger a specialist in failure, and it's all being
the guy had the audacity to keep beating him.
Yeah, no, I mean, but equally,
I'm
like,
enjoying this today.
It's Mourinho. I hate Mourinho. I hate him with a passion. Like, I'm so I just can't stand listening to him. I can't stand watching him.
I'm not sure how many legs your podcast idea has got, because it would just be you going, I hate him.
I hate him. And James going,
oh, I love him.
And going, oh, I think it's all right, actually. And you're like, you ruined my life. But okay, but think about it from the point of view of an Arsenal fan, and you're reading this, and in the first like five pages about how much Mourinho loves Mesut Ozil, it's like, okay, well, I can accept that. That's fine. You know, a guy I don't like likes Mesut Ozil. That's fine. Lots of terrible people like good people. That's okay.
Okay.
I can understand
that.
Then the next,
we get it. You don't like Mourinho. Okay.
Then the next, like, five pages after that, the foreword are about how important Mourinho is to Ozil, and it does kind of. It feels like someone who is reading this book as an Arsenal fan, I was kind of waiting for the bit where he was like, and I feel the same way about Arsene Wenger, or like, I really enjoyed my time at Real Madrid and I really am enjoying my time at Arsenal. But he doesn't mention Arsenal seriously until about 80% of the way through the book.
Yeah.
The whole first bit is about Real Madrid. I realize what it's like. You know, the bit in Love Actually when Emma Thompson when Emma Thompson sees her husband Alan Rickman has bought a present, and it's a beautiful
diamond necklace.
And she's like, oh, that's gonna be for me on Christmas Day. And she opens it up on Christmas Day, and it's a Joni Mitchell album is her present instead. And she has to be like, she has
good albums.
Yeah, but not a Christmas present.
It's not a gold necklace.
In that moment, she's like feeling crushed because she's aware that like the person she loves, the person she thinks loves her back, love someone else, and she has to find this out in the worst possible way on Christmas Day.
Are you saying
that is how I felt when I read
that you love Mesut Ozil as much as Alan Rickman's fake wife? I know there's not much else to insight, which I found absolutely fine, but it is surprising because at Arsenal at the time.
What's also interesting about that whole thing is that I'd forgotten until I was remembering it this morning. At this point in Mesut's Arsenal career, Jose Mourinho is at Man United. And in 2017, Ozil was like saying he wasn't sure if his contract was running out, I think, in like a year and a half time. All of these overtures to Jose Mourinho while Jose Mourinho is a Man United manager.
Come and get
not
me.
Really, like, that's... That
sackable offence. Sackable offence. But there was, at least when we do get to Arsenal at some point, there was a little bit which I liked, which was Mesut says, being at Arsenal is a bit like being at school. Wenger doesn't allow mobile phones in the massage room, for instance, which is exactly the same as my school. No mobile phones in the massage room.
I remember that. Oh, so unfair.
speaking of mobile phones in the massage room,
are we playing Cluedo?
What a segue!
Are we playing?
One thing that I kind of found really sad, actually, was the stuff about like the media and his privacy intrusion. I think it's because I just watched Framing Britney, but.
Oh, this is the Britney Spears documentary.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's all about how the media hounding her just ruined her life.
Yes.
And it, the more I was reading, the more I was like, this is exactly like Özil. So it starts like way back in Schalke, and every time he does anything, he's always described as a money grabber. Yeah. And no other players are described that way.
That's for a contract reason.
He says like other players were getting more and he was the one that was described as money grabber. And then he'd make like, there seems to be this big turning point in the media for him where he went to Mecca. He just got the most insane abuse in the media. And then from then on, they just never let him off with anything.
No, I know what you mean that. But I think there was a split, wasn't there, with the Mecca thing. Some people thought it was really good and some people thought...
Some people thought it was really good, but in Germany, they were allowing like the head of the AfD, the far right party, to go and comment on him in all of the newspapers. And it's just so weird that that was allowed.
I do think people are a bit, do go after him a little bit, a bit too often with a lot of things. And I agree with you on that, Tash. But also, I do think sometimes he plays down his naivety a little bit in some bits, because his dad's his agent, he does some crazy things with him as well.
Yeah, his dad does some weird things. But there's that really sad bit when he moves to London and he tries to go to a restaurant and he can't get there, so he comes back and one of the paparazzo jump on his car.
Yeah, that's bad.
So that he pretends to be injured.
Classic.
Yeah. And then the police come and it's just, and he writes that awful thing about how he won't leave his golden cage, and I just felt like, oh my god, Meza, like, you've had this poison chalice from the beginning.
There are a couple of things though I thought were pretty cool in German apart from the media, I thought actually in German football there was a couple of things I noticed that were really cool. First of all, when he was playing in the World Cup, the German national team gave them an app on their phone which they could learn about the opposition through, which I thought was really cool. I'd never heard that before.
That was really good. That was 2010 as well, wasn't it?
I think it was later.
German, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Very German.
But also because of media, I guess because of these media problems, I love the fact that when they're at one of the European Championships, they get media training at some point and they're given three answers to respond to something, which reminded me of Father Ted when they try and get Father Jack to say yes, no, or that would be an ecumenical matter.
I was going to say it reminds me of in FIFA career mode, whenever you do press conferences, you only get three options. Yeah. And I'm like, I always want to be like, what do you think of this manager? I'm like, oh, I think he's a shit. I hate him. And it's always like, I think he's really good. I think he's quite clever. I think he's astute. I'm like, no, let me say he's crap.
Yeah. How many times do you get asked a question about Mourinho, Jack, in a
almost constantly. It's all I live for.
My main observation from his younger years in the Bundesliga is this question. Can Mesut Özil sleep well or can he not? I want to get your opinion on this, because page 43 in the book, it's when he's deciding about whether he's going to play for Germany or the Turkish national team. Mustafa Dorgem, I don't know how you pronounce it, again, another German-Turkish player. Before coming to this decision, he speculated, Mesut must have spent sleepless nights, which was wrong. In general, I'm not a bad sleeper. I rarely take my problems to bed with me. I'm not a brooder who spends hours staring at the ceiling instead of going to sleep. Which, first of all, very defensive. But then immediately afterwards, he goes, the only time I have trouble sleeping is after matches. When I come home after Champions League encounters, I find it hard to wind down. So immediately, he's given us an example of a time where he finds it hard to sleep. And then he doubles down on that. Page 52.
He comes in. You really went after him.
I read it. He says, he's about to make his debut for Schalke. And he says, instead of going to bed early for a relaxing sleep, I tossed and turned that night. I switched from lying on my stomach to my back, but the pillow over my head, but nothing works. Especially putting a pillow over your head has never gone well.
Yes, that sometimes works.
Maybe. But either way, Özil, on your head. For someone who says he sleeps perfectly all the time, there's clearly quite a few examples where he can't sleep.
This feels like a very, like, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, this, you what are you the mean, London personal? Media that keep going after him. Yeah.
There's lots of things you could have gone after him for. He's saying that he can't sleep, he can sleep well, and sometimes he definitely can't. So,
and yet on page 52, sir, Mr. Özil, you claim to be able to sleep perfectly. Is that true?
I find his eye bags quite endearing, actually.
Not having a go at his physical appearance. Oh God, Jack, you've all been sucking in by Jack's bloody brainwashing of Urzel being this perfect individual.
That's it. I think early on in his career, I think he's kind of struggling for support quite a lot. I think that's one of his issues. He's like, you know, he's at Schalke, his own club seem to be going against him.
Yeah.
And then at Bremen.
And he's always sort of, and at Bremen, he sort of feels a little bit an issue when he goes there, like he doesn't fit in because everyone's a bit older than him and have families. But then, if I'm allowed to skip ahead a little bit, when he signs for Madrid, he does sort of have that support in place, especially with two older brother type characters.
Yes.
Ramos and Khedira, who look after him. And I didn't really expect him to be good friends with
Ramos. No, I know what you mean. He seems quite shy and retiring compared to Ramos's, like...
Yeah, completely. But he moved next door to him and he sort of took him under his wing. And he used to invite him over to his house and play guitar and sing to him. Which it just made... All I could think of was David Guetta when I was thinking of that. Just like singing songs at inappropriate times. Like very David Brent, like, go get the guitar.
Did you say David Guetta?
Not now, Ramos. David Guetta,
the French, the French
and David
DJ.
Brent, the two Davids. Yeah, just sort of like Euro sort of... cheesy R&B DJ grabbing a guitar when he
you
shouldn't.
Remember when,
that,
remember when
all I could think of was David Guetta.
Wasn't David Guetta the he was one of the acts for Euro 2016?
Oh, and he played
in the French stadium.
Yes.
It was terrible. And it did feel a bit like David Guetta had just turned up in the center stage and they couldn't get rid of him. He was like, just let him tire himself out.
I can
with
imagine
seven songs.
Sergio Ramos like shouting his name repeatedly.
Separate to music, just in general.
And like Meza being like, is that what musicians do? Yeah, it's what they do, man. They say Sergio Ramos.
That whole relationship with Sergio Ramos was just quite fascinating, I thought, because I didn't expect it.
And they wrote a chapter themselves.
Sort of sticks them.
Yeah.
They both wrote a chapter themselves, Khedira and Ramos. Ramos's was quite, it was like a page long.
Yeah.
I reckon Sergio Ramos definitely offered a song before he offered the chapter.
Right. Sergio Ramos isn't the only singer-songwriter. Seamless. Another singer-songwriter we know is our friend Ken Zong. And he's got another chart this week. So remember
Ken Zong, 2021!
Where them girls at? That is a song by David Guetta. I'm not just yelling, where are the girls?
Excuse me, where are the girls at?
Last week, of course, Ken Zong, we had the tune of Livin' La Vida Loca, Just Give It to Rio Coca. This week, to the tune of Beats International, Dub Be Good to Me. Oh. What a song.
Oh. Does he do the jam fly bass lock down?
No, but if you want to do the intro. here is this week's chant. I think Reading and Chelsea fans will enjoy it. And no one else. Some defenders suffer from hesitation. He don't care for conceding goals. Michael Dewberry. Got a second verse. Defense is always where he'll be. He's a bruiser. He don't care what you throw at him. Michael Dewberry.
Oh, that is nice.
Lovely. Another Ken classic. I think he deserves an Ivan Novello for changing he's a user to he's a bruiser in the content.
Ken's come back strong this series, very strong.
He has.
He's carrying the team, let's be honest, guys.
And we'll have more on Mesut Ozil's book after these ads.
Hello. Hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We will do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't. I actually love interaction with people. I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome back to the show, guys. We're still reading Mesut Özil's book. And Tash, I know you've got some strong opinions about something else in the book.
Yes, I do, actually, because this is a man who at one time was earning $350,000 a week, right?
Yeah.
And what
do not remind me.
Are you calling him a money grabber?
No, oh. I'm just saying he wasn't in the squad. £350,000 a week, yeah, and he wasn't in the squad.
And would you like to know how he was spending that money?
More than
I
anything.
Would, yeah.
At Vapiano's.
Yes.
And, yeah. And Subway.
Oh my God.
And Subway.
Here he comes Tasha's food snobbery.
He did want to save Gunnosaurus, no. though. So let's just.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But no, sorry, you are right. I do agree. Yeah, he does spend a lot of time there.
Did do a bit of digging, and it is a German chain.
Oh,
so
really?
Perhaps it reminds him of home. But I'm sorry, Mesut. I really like you, and you come across really well in this book, but that is shameful. Go to Hakkasan with the rest of them. Come on, mate.
Apparently, he likes a place where he can get a Turkish sausage somewhere as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, in Golders Green.
Yeah,
and he makes a good one.
That's
a good.
Where they jump on him.
Yeah.
That's where the paparazzis jump on him.
What was the food he eats at the beginning? Tash, would you eat a... what's his favourite food?
It was curry ketchup
and white bread.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I think growing up in Stoke, I ate quite similar things quite often.
Okay.
Later on, when he says he learned how to cook really well, all I could think of was that he was just putting curry ketchup on like sourdough or something. Just like,
Your meal, sir. Poached eggs with curry ketchup.
That was all quite sweet, though, that whole bit.
It was very
obviously
sweet.
It was about him not being on loads of money at the time. But still, now he's making money. Get out of Subway.
Yeah, get out of Bloody Faps.
Can somebody explain Vapiano's to me? What is...
Vapiano's is this like weird restaurant where you go in and you get a tray like you're at school dinners. And then you queue up depending on if you want like straight pasta or little pasta or a pizza or chips. And you stand in that queue and then you have different toppings on it. It's like being back at school. So I don't get it.
Maybe as a player who like always like eats at canteens and stuff. He loves that.
He's
like
sense.
Built into
he
it.
It's just how it works. Yeah.
Do you think he goes to like Michelin starred restaurants and like picks up a tray and picks up a plate and stands by the kitchen? Feed me.
It's quite easy to leave Vapiano's without paying your bill. Not that I would know, but it's quite easy. So
there we go, readers, listeners. Readers.
There were definitely someone from Vapiano going, okay, we got it. His taste is very odd. His taste is also very odd when it comes to TV and film. Mesut Özil loves to watch Entourage, Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, that's enough.
That was the one where I was like, oh, no, hang on. We need to just take a step back here.
It's funny, though, because just before that, he says, like, you know, I used to watch films, but then I got into TV dramas because they're a lot, you know, sort of deeper and more intense. And also I'll watch Two and a Half Men quite a lot. It's just like, What?
The thing that he watches a lot in London is nature documentaries about lions.
Yes. Yeah, he loves lions.
So, and also yeah. There's another bit where he's like, oh, I found out later that one of the dinners I went to had Jane Goodall because I felt really stupid because I wanted to go up to her and say, I love Jane Goodall. I've watched all of her documentaries. It's like, why have you watched?
I found that fascinating. The underlying stuff about nature is fascinating throughout.
It's so odd.
He absolutely loves lions as well. And Jane Goodall made me really laugh. But talking of his love for nature, actually, we move on to this week's dramatic reading quite nicely. Everyone excited?
Yes.
Can someone cue the dramatic music for me, please?
Cue dramatic music.
I love
2021!
James is always the one who does it
James
these
days. James Bug!
This dramatic reading is called Mesut Özil and the Forbidden Bananas. This is all for context, because we're not in out of context, we can tell the context. It's just after they lost the Euro 2012 semi-final to Italy, so he's very angry at this point. Yeah. In the wilderness of Africa, I managed to forget those blue jerseys. I'm guessing that's the Italian jerseys. Yeah. I learned to laugh again, and most of all,
that's
I had the
such
free...
an odd sentence.
Yeah,
sorry.
That is, yeah.
I forgot the blue jerseys and I learned to laugh again in Africa.
Thank you, Africa. And best of all, I had the freedom to move around without anyone being interested in who I was. I didn't have to answer to anybody why I didn't keep chasing Pirlo before he passed to Giorgio Chiellini. The Australian mother who'd given her daughter this trip as a reward for having finished school was as uninterested in a photo or autograph as the couple had been coming on safari every summer for the past 10 years. They need to go on another holiday. He's bored of all these leopards.
Unless that guy's like, if we keep going on this holiday, at some point we'll bump into Mesut Özil again.
Yeah. These people had no idea that only a few days earlier I'd been playing football in front of an audience of millions. No idea. As far as they were concerned, I was just the bloke who was too stupid to stick to the simplest of the safari rules we were given at the start. Our guide had expressly forbidden us to pack any food in our rucksack or go for a wander. So what did Mesut do? For some reason, I didn't take the warning so seriously when the first day I took a look around the area surrounding our lodge and I thought a few would be fine in case I got... So not only do you not take white, about like three or four. I thought a few bananas...
In my head, he's taken about 10.
Take 10 bananas.
He rucksack out, he started to just shovel bananas in.
I thought that'd be fine in case I got peckish. A typical sports snack to keep me going in between meals. But I barely left the building when I was targeted by a troop of baboons. At least 20 animals, some of them 80 centimetres tall. The fact that he says 80 centimetres makes them sound very small. I don't know why. It doesn't sound big.
If you said nearly a metre tall.
Yeah, wow, yeah, quite, whoa, big,
but
uh-oh.
80 centimetres, like, oh, okay, that's like what, two rulers?
Yeah. Pathetic. They followed me with the intention of snatching my rucksack. One even leapt onto it and tried to wrench it open. I was just about able to shake him off and escape back to my room. Because the monkeys were waiting on the roof of the lodge for me to come back out, I had to call a ranger and confess my mistake to him. It is a beautiful image.
Imagine that phone call. Hi, it's German superstar Mesut Özil here. I've got some bananas in my bag and now monkeys are...
If you're wondering where... Yeah. Sorry about all those bananas I stole from the breakfast buffet. Yeah. As well.
Shoveled into my bag.
Please come save me. Soon afterwards, I had my second encounter with a wild animal. Suddenly, there was this impala standing right in front of me, staring at me with its deep black eyes. A beautiful beast. Is this in his room?
Maybe the ranger was like, oh, don't worry. To chase the baboons away, we'll just release the impala.
A beautiful beast, so graceful and finely sculpted, with fur that looked so soft I wanted to touch and stroke it. But also these corkscrew-like horns, which must have been around 90 centimetres long, bigger than the baboons.
Bigger than the baboons.
Looked rather menacing. One strike and I was badly injured, but the animal got bored, vanishing off into the bush with a huge leap. So that's the end of the dramatic reading.
Wait, what was that last bit? Sorry, I didn't... What was the last bit?
It got bored and ran off, basically.
Okay, impala. Fine.
He opened that the door, it went out.
Got bored of him measuring it in with a ruler. He's just like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. He's going, oh, you're the size of a baboon. Interesting.
No, there's definitely a difference between the size of the baboon and this size. It's got to be 10 centimetres. It doesn't matter. Before the impala ran off, it was like, you should have tracked Pirlo.
I had a really quick thing I was going to say, actually. I agree that he's very well intentioned, and I agree I also kind of warned him a lot of the time, but there was one moment that was very shallow and it reminded me of Memphis Depay. And you'll know the reason why, because when Memphis Depay It was when he was in Ghana and, you know, some of the like posturing he was doing in his Instagram posts and stuff we mentioned. When Mesut Ozil goes to Mecca, which is this really transformative event for him in many ways, it's really, really, it really means a lot to him and his faith. But it quickly descends into something very vacuous. He goes, once in a lifetime, every Muslim who is able to should make the pilgrimage. There's a reminder of God, his commandments, and his love for mankind. I'd already heard and read so much about Mecca. I simply felt the need to visit this place once in my life to explore it myself, to see it and soak up all the impressions. My going to Mecca is comparable to devout Catholics visiting the Vatican. All good so far. More than 2 million people liked my photo in front of the Kaaba, which I intentionally accompanied only with the hashtags hashtag Mecca, hashtag Holy City, hashtag Saudi Arabia, hashtag Islam, hashtag pray. People there queuing to have photos taken me. Young people from Indonesia in particular were completely ecstatic to meet me there. It's just, you don't that need to mention right. Those bits.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a very strange...
Why mention also, the hashtags?
The hashtags are the particularly weird ones. Hashtag pray.
Hashtag pray. Get
also,
it trending.
Someone clicking on hashtag pray and being like, oh, I'm glad he hashtagged this pray. I never would have found it.
Talking of hashtags, actually, on Twitter... I've got a little Derives for Sale update. Has anyone listened to our teaser for this? We are desperate to read Derives for Sale's 2017 book. 2017 was a good year for football books.
It was a good year for football books.
We want to read his book, The Road to Persia. So far, no leads. Really hard to track down. However, I did find the person who wrote his book.
Oh!
We should start with Darius Vassell.
Okay.
Yeah, Darius Vassell. Yeah,
I typed that. In Darius _ Vassell .avi.
No, it was a guy, it's the same chap who wrote the recent, quite successful Even Heskey Scored book, which I know Jack's very keen on reading.
I would like to read that.
So my update is, I followed him on Twitter. Mm. And
cool, great.
He hasn't followed back.
Any interaction?
He hasn't followed back. So now the waiting begins. So hopefully,
are you playing
if you're listening,
to get?
Yeah.
You actually messaged him.
You never message Tash. That's desperate.
Oh, that's where I've been going wrong.
Yeah, that's how Tash got on the podcast.
You got to follow, then unfollow, then follow again.
Oh,
then
that's
unfollow, then follow again.
I'll try that. I can't message him yet.
Or accidentally send a message and then say, oops, sorry, this one wasn't for you.
When you say we want that book, it makes it sound like there's literally one copy of it.
Yeah, there might be.
It's sort of hard to find. That's how it feels.
Yeah. I mean, beforehand we wanted A Year in the Life of Mark Schwarzer, which I genuinely don't, I think has been burnt or something, pulped, like Alan Partridge's book. So
didn't he say like, oh, we can't find any copies?
Yeah, he said no copies or something like that when he was talking.
If we track down a copy and we have to pass it between us, Jack, you're getting it last because you get the pages stuck together.
No! Don't make this a running joke.
Dirty boy. Dirty, dirty boy.
Tash started it.
We've kind of encompassed his time in Germany and his time in Madrid. One thing we haven't got to, as Jack mentioned, because there's barely any of it, is Arsenal. But we do finally get there at the end.
There was a bit that I liked about when he first went to Arsenal. Obviously, this is a thing that crops up with a lot of new signings. A lot of players for most teams have to sing a song as initiation ceremony.
Yes.
And they do that at Arsenal as well. And this one, he could have just told us about the song that he did, but he didn't have to tell us about a rap that he'd done. With, who was it?
Oh my gosh.
It was so strange.
Yes, and he's a famous German rapper, actually, because my girlfriend is a bit German and a big fan of German hip-hop, and she told me all about this guy. But I don't think this book, in English anyway, he doesn't come across great.
Yeah, so he didn't. He could have just gone into, oh, this is a song I did for the initiation, this is what other guys did, but he was like, oh, it's not my first rodeo. I've also recorded vocals for this track in Germany. And then it's just terrible. I don't know why he drew attention to this.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Is so he a worse rapper than Memphis Depay, do we think?
Yes.
Well, I mean, he's definitely worse than Memphis Depay, surely.
So the guy, correct me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, but there's a German rapper called Jan Delay.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Ask him. Double check.
Yeah, I'll ask her. Yeah, tell my girlfriend.
So he wrote, he's a nice. Big Werder Bremen fan, so he wrote this song. So he wrote a rap called Large, and it was specifically for them. So yeah. I'm guessing he got a few of the players on to sing. So Ozil's lyrics included, my captain says, hey, you chicken, compared to you, I'm a European champion. What's up? I like, what is he?
Yeah. In one verse,
hey,
we took the mickey out of Bremen by singing, we stink of fish because we're from Werder. Oh!
We smell like fish! 2021!
David Guetta would be proud. But I know what you mean. I find initiation ceremonies fascinating.
This one was particularly weird as well, because he started singing really, really quietly. And he said, I started singing really quietly, and all the Arsenal players started booing me. Which, as an initiation ceremony, is
get off! Get him out of this team!
Yeah. Boo! You cost £45 million and you can't sing?
Jack, we finally got to a bit. We're talking about Arsenal. There must be something you enjoyed from it, right?
Well, I found this bit probably more traumatic than the bit where he wasn't talking about Arsenal. He talks in sort of limited detail about the 2013-2014 season, which is when Arsenal had their horrible collapse against Liverpool. Predominantly, they lost 5-1. They lost 6-0 to Chelsea, where he mentions Jose Mourinho and mentions the fact that Jose Mourinho called Arsene Wenger a specialist in failure, which was like a knife to the heart, Mesut. It was like a knife to the heart.
Let it go.
But the bit for me that was most upsetting was when he talked about a fancy dress party that he went to. And it was all these heroes. They had to go as like a superhero, like different kinds of heroes. And they had to pick a name out of a hat. And he said, I was really lucky because I got to go as, I picked my name out of the hat and I was Superman. So that was good. Lucas Podolski was the Hulk. But it was really sad because one other player, I can't remember who it was, they had to go as Super Mario. It was so embarrassing. And I was reading this being like, that's odd. I wonder why he hasn't mentioned who it is. That's strange. Maybe it's like a youth player. Maybe it's like a player who doesn't really matter in this team.
Uh-huh.
I looked it up. It's Santi Cazorla. He forgot Santi Cazorla.
Oh my gosh.
How could he forget Santi Cazorla, the nicest man?
This is Tash level snooping. Very impressed. Yeah.
It just made me so upset because I sort of just saw this. I mean, also, obviously, Santi Cazorla dressed as Super Mario is the cutest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's just adorable. It works perfectly. But why wouldn't you just research that? Why wouldn't you look it up and be like, who was it again? Oh, it was Santi Cazorla, one of Arsenal's best players, one of the best players of Arsenal in the Premier League era. Played arguably much better than Mesut Ozil during his time at Arsenal.
Oh, his guy is turning.
But no, yes, it's true.
We got him at the end.
It feels like there's some beef between them if he's sort of skipping
over
that.
Footballers bloody love fancy dress, don't they? We should keep a tally of the most popular football outfits.
That's a good idea.
We have to go as them at Halloween.
I think I know the answer to this already, but that brings us to the end of the book. Did it change you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And I learned a lot about German-Turkish history.
That's true.
So yeah.
That was useful. So rating out of 10, let's start with Jack. Get it out of the way. It's going to be high.
I'm going to go 8.
Okay. James?
7. I'll be positive.
Okay. For context, Cammy got 7.5 average. Tash, what are you going for?
Oh, if Cammy got 7.5, this 8.
Wow. 23. Yeah. I'm going to give it... I don't know. I've got 7. I'll give it 7 as well. Yeah. So that's 30.
Yes.
It's got exactly the same. 7.5, right?
Cool.
Cammy and Ozil.
That's what I'd say. Mesut Ozil, Chris Kamara. About the same.
Yeah,
about the same in footballing ability.
But extremely different books. About as different
very,
as you can read.
Very different.
But exactly
very,
the same quality. okay, for the quiz this week, you're all named after some of the nicknames Mesut has been called in the past. Jack, you're the Wizard of Oz. Tash, you're Nemo, which is what his Madrid teammates called him. And James, you're the diva with the lump and foot, which I think was a headline. Or something. So that is you.
That should be me, really. I had a club foot when I was a baby.
Okay.
The diva with the clumpy foot.
Okay, Tash, you can switch. James, you're now Nemo. Question one. Apart from being top scorer in the Bundesliga in 2004, what other claim to fame does Brazilian striker Ailton have?
Oh, Nemo.
Yep.
He was on the German version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Very good.
Oh,
that's
yes.
True. Not strictly an Ozil question, but it was something which I found out from this. What kind of BBC documentaries does Mesut Ozil enjoy?
Oh,
Tash, that's not your full name. Full name, please.
Wizard
Diva
of Oz.
Diva with a lumpy foot.
Yeah, close enough. Lump and foot. Yep, what's the answer?
He likes history documentaries and he also likes nature documentaries.
Yes.
But BBC ones, he specifically likes the history
Very
ones.
Complete answer, and I'll give you that point. Diva
Jack was reading that
foot.
Bit like, yes, Mesut.
Yeah.
I love that.
Love it.
Yeah, both everything that I want right now.
Question number three. Who asked for Mesut's shirt after the World Cup final?
Oh, Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Michel Platini.
Is correct. He obviously couldn't get a signed copy of Kamara's nuts column. So, yeah, had to settle for that. And finally, a game of does this appear in the index or not? Question one, Keanu Reeves.
Nemo, yes.
Is correct. Because... I can't remember why. Why does he mention Keanu?
Because he talks about, he likens himself to Neo in The Matrix.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When he's playing football. That. Yeah, on the way on the pitch. Yeah, yeah, of course. Question two, Sugar Feast. Is that an entry in the index?
Oh, Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Yes.
It is. I don't know. Again, not quite sure what. But he loves a sugar feast.
It rings a bell. I think he, maybe when he was eating at home, it was one of the things that he ate.
Just the sugar feast.
A sugar feast, like a fly.
One of them sugar feasts you hear so much about nowadays.
And finally, in the next, as he mentioned, Gargamel, the evil wizard from the Smurfs.
Louis Sahar's book. No.
No, it's correct. That is, of course, Louis Sahar's book. And you've all got two there. You've all tied.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Nice. Oh.
That's good.
Next week, we'll be reading Neil Redfern's There's Only One Neil Redfern with the brilliant Ivo Graham. Are we all excited about that?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be great. If you're looking for another football podcast in the meantime, check out 21st Century Football, a complete guide. Well, you know, as complete as it can be in the year 2021. This podcast is all about celebrating the best of the best players of the century thus far and features hosts including YouTube star Statman Dave, Stephen Tries and Will Brazier. So search for 21st Century Football wherever you get your podcasts. Looking forward to the one they do on Darren Huckabee. That's going to be the episode I'm tuning into. If you've read There's Only One Neil Redfern, or you've read Ozil's book or Kamara's book, please get in touch.
If you've read a book, really?
If
you've read a book.
We're on Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, and we're on Facebook as well. It's been great fun chatting to you guys again today. Any last words?
Yeah, if anyone has derives for sales, but please, we'll buy it off you.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Hashtag pray. Hashtag pray, everybody.
Hashtag pray, baby. Pray.
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Daniels, and James Balgen. It was created by James Bug, and it was produced by Crowd Network. Thanks to Meza for writing the book, but what are they all up to now? Well, Meza is enjoying his time at Fenerbahce, seems much happier, and I've googled it, there is a Vapiano's in Istanbul. Great news. Jose Mourinho has moved on to psychologically torturing Dele Alli with mixed results so far. Sergio Ramos has gutted his headline slot at Glastonbury had to be cancelled this year, and Jane Goodall is still devastated Meza blanked her at an award ceremony. The theme music Hills Behind is the work of Silent Partner and using a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll see you next week for Neil Redfern with Ivo Graham, but until then, bye-bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.